Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 11.
All right, welcome back. This is a little bonus episode. We're doing a tasting of some berry beers. These are beers that have berries in them. That's the explanation of what they are. They're all sour beers. We got Smog City Snugglebug. We got Rare Barrel Supermassive, and then Kent Falls Blackberry versus Blueberry. Blueberry versus Blackberry.
Do we want to start with a Snugglebug, I would say, because at least we're more familiar with that one.
Oh, we're just gonna open them all.
All right.
But yeah, we can start with we'll start with Snugglebug. So just need to.
Yeah. Smog City.
Smog City. We actually recorded a podcast over in Smog City. Curtis and I did.
The first time I went to Smog City, that was like the hot brewery, and then my buddy was like, "I want to take you to this other brewery down the street called Monkish." And I was like, "I never heard of them."
Nah.
It was a different game back then. They didn't have IPAs back then.
They've only had IPAs for a year and like 2 months. Like,
and then someone asked me, "Have you had a Monkish IPA?" And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think they had any of that stuff when I went."
No, they had a sign on the wall when you went that would have said no IPAs, or like had a, like an IPA with a slash through it.
Uh-huh. What's funny is I personally think that some of Monkish's sour offerings are really the reason worth going there. I mean, their IPAs are quite good, and as far as that East Coast hazy style that it's been so trendy these days, I don't think any brewery out here does quite as good of a job as they do. But some of their sours, including, what was it, Same Tree? We just drank
Kiss the Sky was great.
I had that one.
Fruit Cart
was great.
Fruit Cart, yeah.
Juteau we just had.
Yep. Juteau, yeah. That was a great one we had the other night this year, too. Whoever brought that. That was
that
awesome.
That was Caters.
Thank you, Caters.
And Jason, both of you guys.
Oh, yes.
Camera guy is saying he's got floaties. I had the first pour, so I think I've got a virgin. Oh, yeah, I'm good. So this is a sour beer made with raspberries and boysenberries. And it's quite good. Yeah, as Sean was pointing out, or he was saying about Monkish's sour program, it is pretty awesome. It's pretty fire. But some of theirs tend towards the acidic, a little farther on the acidic side. Mm-hmm. And while they are delicious, I don't know if I would ever have a bottle all to myself of one of those. I would always share it with like at least two other people. Like,
speaking of bottles you would never drink to yourself, this Snugglebug, I think it's another one. Right,
it's a smaller bottle, but it packs a punch on the sour scale.
Mm. Yeah, it's more on the fruit. What year is this one? Do we know what batch?
It's the last batch that came out.
It's got to be the most recent one, I think. Yeah.
The new label.
So
unless they had another one come out recently, but
I don't think they did. I think this. I mean, the fruit. One of the things that we talked about with the fruited sours is the fruit can sometimes lose a little bit of its jammy quality. Over time, but this one, yeah, it's still got jam, but it's also rather rather zippy.
Yeah, this is kind of,
you definitely get the raspberries on the nose though.
Yeah, but when I'm drinking it, I know this isn't cranberries, but this kind of reminds me of drinking Ocean Spray cranberry juice, like the aftertaste that it leaves, the kind of sour, like.
Mixed with a little bit
enamel
of
stripping,
cranberry ginger bit. Ale,
yeah.
Mixed in there. And it's got that look, cranberry ginger ale look.
I think that's a little bit of a Smog City hallmark though too, because I had Chinooks and Crannies the other day on the other episode.
You had that one. That was a hard one to get, wasn't it?
They had it on tap. Okay. So we had it on tap, and it was very much the Ocean Spray thing you were talking about. But that one actually has cranberries in it,
like fresh from the bog.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what boysenberries smell like though? Are you familiar? Like if I brought a fresh batch of boysenberry pie, was making boysenberry pie, and you walked in, like, "Oh, you making boysenberry pie?" Like, would you know?
I don't think I would pick it out. Like they have
like cherry pie, yeah. Or you know, yeah, something, yeah, else like that. Blueberry pie. You would know. Boysenberry, I'm not really too familiar. Yeah. I was just wondering if you guys, if it's like a West Coast berry or something.
I think it's related. You know.
Because I think the first time I ever heard of boysenberries was from Knott's Berry Farm when I went out there to the theme park or whatever.
Huh. I want to say that boysenberries are basically a varietal of raspberry, but I don't know that for sure. I'll have to fact check myself on that one.
That's what we have cell phones for.
Yeah, that's what we have cell phones for.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of a funny story back when the iPhone was brand new, and it was a serious article in the Los Angeles Times that said smartphones are making everybody into assholes, basically like you can't have a conversation about something with someone pulling out a phone being like, "Let me check and see if that's true." But now we all do it because we all have it in our pocket.
The boysenberry is a cross among the European raspberry, a European blackberry, an American dewberry, and the loganberry.
Well, there you have it. It's a bastard berry is what it is.
The loganberry, huh?
Boysenberry, more like you're going to a boysen school for boysenberry.
Now you look at the loganberry. Just comes from other berries, like a whole berry family tree.
Trying to drink some jam that's like Sean said, like soda, like jammy soda.
Yeah, like very, Canada Dry.
Very dry.
Like earthy. It's earthy.
Yeah.
But clean, earthy. Like potting soil from the store. All right, what's next? Which one do we want to open next?
Let's just go down the line.
All right.
Supermassive, which is from the Rare Barrel, which has what kind of berries in it?
This one is... So it's not going to be quite the same, but it's a dark sour beer, aged in oak barrels with blackberries and black currants.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys like these dark sours?
Yeah.
Throat pour.
I did it already.
Yeah. Oh.
Good bite.
Give me a rinse.
Rinse, anyone? Rinse.
Always. Thank you, sir.
Always rinse your glass.
What's the best dark sour beer you've ever had?
What's the best dark sour beer?
Yeah.
Still going to go with Tart of Darkness.
That's a great beer.
Yeah, you know, the Tart of Darkness with cherries and vanilla was a fantastic beer. And also kind of strong. And also, I shared it with my brother-in-law, who is not really into beer and had never had a sour beer in his life, but he actually liked it, and he got schwasted off of it.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, cheers, Joel.
Hey, come on,
Joel. And we wait. Everyone touch.
Everyone. It doesn't count unless everyone touches. So Supermassive, have they done this one before? This is a 2017, so this is recent. 6.9%.
That's good.
Snugglebug was lighter. It was 4.8.
Yeah, definitely better. I love Rare Barrel, though, man. They have such good funk.
Rare Barrel is, that's been their shtick the whole time. It's only sour beer the whole time.
Not that there's anything they've ever done where I was like, what the hell is this?
So, Joel, are you the one who recanted the story of the Rare Barrel's name?
I did. Yeah, it was actually a full-blown article written. I mean, actually, it was in Beer Advocate magazine. I think they did it because the hunt for the Rare Barrel. There's a barrel in it, and don't quote me on the name of it. It's like, it's got a name that's like a couple of letters and a number. But it was the beer in which first batch of beautification was born in.
Barrel. But it has several legendary beers to come out of that one barrel.
Yeah. Also, New Belgium's La Folie. Ah, thank you. Yes. I'm going to sneeze. It's just so good. I'm going into spasms over here. I'm sloshing beer on myself.
Wait. So I missed a little bit of that.
Yeah, so the Rare Barrel, the name of the Rare Barrel, the brewery, takes its name from a barrel that was the barrel that Russian River Beatification was born inside of, basically, and as well as New Belgium, I believe it was the very first La Folie.
They use the same exact barrel?
Same exact barrel.
No kidding.
And then that barrel is now at the Rare Barrel. They have that barrel. It was gifted to them.
Did they use it for anything else, or that's it?
There's another famous beer that came from that.
They're presently using it, but I don't know what for.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's a whole Sour Hour podcast episode. So go find the Sour Hour podcast, everybody, and listen to the episode about the hunt for the Rare Barrel. That'll give you the kind of the down low.
How many times can you use a barrel over.
As many times as you want.
Yeah, I mean, I think somewhat dependent on the type of barrel that it is, but in general, yes, you can use a barrel as many times as you want. You may not necessarily want to continue to transition using it for totally different things each time, because I don't know how much flavor.
So the barrel is called PH1.
PH1, there you go. I was going to say PN1, but I knew that was wrong.
Yeah. And so it is the original La Folie. And it's the first beatification. And I believe there's one more.
Both delicious beers do have been
grapefruit
sourced.
Sculpin?
Ah, the first grapefruit Sculpin was barrel-aged in PH1. Magic.
I'm going to start telling people
grapefruit
that.
Grapefruit Sculpin was a terrific beer for a little while.
My buddies were telling me when they remembered when it came out in Boston, they actually lined up to get a six-pack. And they called up their buddy, like, do you want a six-pack? And like, sure, absolutely. And when he went to get it from, like, sorry, bro, we traded your six-pack in the parking lot. It's like, for, like, really rare beers.
Oh, some friends.
Yeah.
For grapefruit Sculpin.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hey, once upon a time, Sculpin was
Sculpin ruled the
whale.
World at one point. Yeah. Yeah. I remember trying to find habanero Sculpin. I gotta try this beer, habanero Sculpin. But
did you ever? Were you
and then I had it. I was successful.
Unfortunately.
And now, from this day on, I've been taking ranitidine, Prilosec, and omeprazole.
No, all from that one.
Yeah, all from that one fateful night.
I got to try the very first batch.
Our camera guy batch. Tried the test batch of habanero Sculpin. Wow, gnarly. Yeah.
Gnarly good or gnarly bad?
Way hotter than it was when they bottled it.
I had a similar experience to it. I was at a festival where it was a festival only offering.
Yeah.
And they had not yet bottled it or anything like that, and they were not yet sold to Constellation Brands and all that crap anyways, but I tried it and it was unfortunately probably the 25th beer that I had at that festival or something. Yeah. After having multiple variants of barrel-aged Old Rasputin, after having like all these crazy beers from all the brewers that were it was actually BeerCon. It was called BeerCon. I don't think it's an event that was happened only once or twice in San Diego. It was really cool. And it did me in. I was done. I was toast after that. The habanero Sculpin was the wrong thing to have at the end.
I don't think this. Can you even start with that? Have it in the middle? Is there any good time for it?
Well, I scored some bottles and took it home to Ohio, where I have an uncle who is not a huge craft beer nerd, but he really loves spicy food. Really, 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 really loves spicy food, and he loved it. He loved it.
That's cool.
So there's definitely a market for spicy.
There's a market for everything.
Yeah.
Sean would know.
Market for everything.
Like, Joel, weren't you the one who really liked your father smelled of elderberries?
No, I did not like that beer. But I did think that it was hilarious that it smelled like farts.
Fart beer?
And it was. I feel like they named it that because they couldn't get away with naming it I Fart in Your General Direction, which is what it really should have been called.
Oh, man.
I was excited when I found that one in Boston, too, actually. That was a big deal.
Stochasticity? Yeah.
What's it?
It was a stone. That's
yeah.
A stone beer.
Yeah, it was. It was a big deal when I found it. That one, I was like, that one? Yeah, it was okay. What else did they have there? They had, like, the 24-carat ale, whatever.
That was interesting. That was a homebrew competition winner, yeah, that they brewed at full scale.
Did you guys homebrew it all?
I have only ever assisted other people homebrew, but I don't have like my own gig get up.
No.
We're actually going to do we're planning a brew session Saturdays this summer.
Episode previous to the episode previous to this, that I interviewed a local homebrewer who's done many, many batches of beer, and we have an idea to do a full episode where we get together and actually do a recipe and brew a beer and then come back later and have a cookout and taste the same beer, which
sounds like
a lot of fun. While making another beer. Yeah, because he's made like over 120 beers at least.
I think you.
He just won Delmar Fair.
Yeah, you might have put that in, like, an addendum in the episode notes, but he actually just won first place for one of his beers in Delmar Fair, being out. It's like, what, 120?
Yeah, I have to ask him for the particulars. Yes, I'm gonna put an addendum on that episode, which will have already aired by the time this one airs. But so you'll know the truth. But yes, he did. He won first place for a pale Citra ale. All is to say, Supermassive is
massive.
It's pretty good. Pretty sour.
Really, with the berries. Tart. It's jammy, tart, clean.
Blackberries. The black currants come through really good at the end.
It's got a lot of oak.
Yeah, but it doesn't. If I could improve one thing about this beer, I would like to see. And this is just with most of Rare Barrel's beers, and this is just my personal palate. I would prefer just a tiny little bit more funk. Their beers are almost too clean and too perfect, whereas opposed to like.
Too perfect?
It's, yeah. I know, it's kind of weird. When you're going for like a sour, spontaneous thing, like you want just a slight taste of that, like, horse's butthole.
Okay. Yeah, I get that, totally.
We learned something new.
Yes.
Sean likes horse's butthole.
Well, actually, Arrows of Neon, which...
That was great.
That one has a nice funk, I think, to it. And it's lemon and lime, and it's like Gatorade in a sour beer form.
I actually haven't had it yet.
What's your favorite Rare Barrel that you have had?
Ooh, Map of the Sun for me.
Map of the Moon.
Map of the Sun for me. Actually, you know, I had Map of the Moon at Firestone Walker, and I did not get it because I'm...
It was a big home sour home. I don't know if you guys ever had that.
I have one in my closet.
That for me was, as Roman would say, fire.
Yes.
Shout out to Roman.
Fire, man. This beer is fire. Baka Kujira, like Black Label was fire.
Modern day version of Beavis. Just fire. It was fire. yeah, Home Sour Home. If you guys haven't had that, definitely try that. That's a great one.
There's a whole bunch of great beers that they make. Another World was good. Mm-hmm.
Gifted Branch.
Okay, Gifted Branch is one of the best things that I've had from them too. That one's up there, for sure. And they're doing that one again, I think.
This one's
It's nice to see too that you guys can actually get it on the shelves out here too now.
That's a new thing though.
I didn't think I'd ever see that. So yeah, it's nice to see that.
That's pretty recent for us. There's only a few places, but it is. It is very nice to find. And now Degard's on the shelf in San Diego.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd see that one too.
Yeah.
But there
the
it
two
is.
Big ones, yeah.
I just picked up two bottles today.
Yep.
With that Lou Pepe.
Lou Pepe. Put Lou Pepe in this lineup.
Did you know Lou Pepe was going to be there?
No.
Oh, that's odd. What a story.
I just walked in. It's like, oh.
Sean has all the luck. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I have none of the luck.
I'm start having you entering all those beer raffles for me.
Well, I did get FO dinner tickets.
You did?
Yeah. Nice.
He did last year.
Should have had you enter FOFA for me, the Festival of Farmhouse Ales over at Hill Farmstead.
Yeah.
It's a big sour festival they do in August.
And that's a, you have to, it's a lottery?
It's a lottery, yeah. You got to enter it and
was that the way it was?
Pick random names.
Last time too, or?
Yeah, as far as I know, the last few years, that's how it was. You just got to be lucky enough to get picked to go.
Really? Okay, wow.
So, I was not lucky.
As far as those lottery systems, I think I actually greatly prefer those lottery systems to the absolute just crazy, everybody scramble.
The Black Friday.
Set a 60-second timer as soon as it turns into 11:59, and everybody refresh as fast as they can for hours on end. I mean, you can see what happens with DuckDuckGoose, the infamous DuckDuckGoose as they crashed everything, and then you had the incredibly disappointing result of it was not even close to a shadow of its former iteration.
I know, that was the biggest letdown.
It took to get that.
Hopefully it's getting better. Do you know anyone that's had it recently that if they said it's gotten better from when it first...
No, but I'll come back for my birthday again,
and I'll open another one.
Sounds good to me.
Don't drink beers. Drink beers. Just wrote a nice scathing review of the new one.
Yeah, he had it at Firestone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have faith it'll get better, but yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I never had 2013 out the gate, so some people were talking about it, saying out the gate it was really good. Other people are saying no, it took time as well, but all that's to say it's an open wound still. Thanks for prodding it again, Sean. Although yeah. So, what's the third one? Oh, yeah.
Third one is a Kent Falls Brewing Company, Blueberry vs. Blackberry. They're out of Connecticut. And Kent, Connecticut.
BBB.
So I've actually never had a Kent Falls sour before, so this should be pretty interesting.
Really? Okay.
You gotta rinse.
Yeah, you gotta rinse.
Yeah, let's get a rinse. You ever had anything from St. Lawrence?
Yes. Yeah. What are the other big Connecticut sours I've had? Captain Lawrence. Captain Lawrence is what you're talking about, I think. I haven't had St. Lawrence. I thought you were talking about Captain Lawrence. That's what I've
had. Maybe that's what I was.
Two Roads make some sours. We were talking about earlier. OEC is a great sour beer company out of Connecticut. I'd probably recommend them over anything besides Side Project right now.
Really?
Yeah. They're really good.
Yeah, OEC is I haven't had a really bad beer from them.
Really, really cool. Great people. Great spot. Great tasting room.
Side Project.
Side Project I would choose overall. I mean, Side Project's in the league of its own to me.
I've had a fair amount of Side Project now. I'll take Sante Darius over them.
Would you?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All right.
And Andergaard, actually.
I'm a big Side Project. Just the mouthfeel alone.
Yeah, Side Project is doing great stuff, don't get me wrong, but I do think that they are quite possibly, aside from Second Shift, the only game in town where they're at, and they're doing a fantastic job on a national scale that they're pretty much almost in their own league, but there are other breweries that are doing a good job that are close to them, but they're just not anywhere physically, geographically close, is kind of my thought on Side Project at this point. But they are also the same thing like you're saying about OEC. They're cool people, right? They're very friendly.
Yeah, very, very nice every time I go there.
Their bottle releases, they do them.
They have the best bottle releases. Yeah. It's almost like a giant bottle share.
Yeah, yes.
And it's a fun atmosphere to go to, and their beers are great, and they do really cool, interesting stuff, and you don't have to trade an arm and a leg to get one of their beers either, which is nice.
It depends on which one you're trying to trade for, but yeah.
Well, which one were you trying to get?
I have not tried to trade for any of them lately, but camera guy wants to get some. Here we go.
I'm talking about OEC, not Side Project.
We're talking about OEC. Okay,
I was talking about OEC.
Talking about Side Project.
I'm like,
Side Project, I will need two arms and at least one leg.
Yeah, that's true. OEC, you can get all the stuff. In fact, our mutual buddy Roman traded for like an entire gigantic set of OEC stuff.
Yeah. I think he did 12 bottles for like an FO or something.
Yeah,
like
something crazy. But really good stuff. He was just bringing them to random shares. Well, let's open this one. Let's open this sherry cask barrel aged. Sour beer with some kind of fruit in it, and it was fantastic. Yeah.
Whoa. Mm. That's different.
Got a really good nose. It actually got the blueberries really good on this.
Yeah, the blueberries are all over this just smells like hot, fresh blueberry scones to me.
Mm. So does.
Scones.
Yeah, scones. That's the
scones.
That's the correct pronunciation is scone, but yeah, I call them scones all the time.
What also is... What I noticed with this one is the vinegary taste is a bit more present than in the previous two. But it's present in most sours, but this one it has a touch more of it than my palate likes.
This one's 5%. Snugglebug,
4.8.
Snugglebug's 4.8. Supermassive's 6.9. So this is nice. The middle of the pack, but this is very smooth. That's the thing I like about it. The acidity is not there as much as it was on the other two to me.
It's one of the better tasting ones that has blueberries in it. Blueberries really hard. Like, it sounds good, and I always buy them, but overall, at the end, I'm kind of like,
yeah.
It didn't taste very blueberry to me, but this one's all right, actually. And it's got blackberries in it, too.
Not a ton of blueberry beers in general. Like, there's what? Bosbis?
The big blueberry beers to get what? obviously, what, blaber or blabber, or how would you say it from Cantillon?
Oh, yeah, blaber. Yeah. I tasted that beer at Firestone Walker, by which I mean I literally had the little drips that ran down the inside of the bottle that were left over at the end, because they were like, you should try this beer. Oh, it's gone. Well, no, there's like, you know, 1 milliliter left in there. Taste it. And I'm like, okay. So, but no, that I smelled it and I tasted the tiny drip that I got, and it was blueberry, just horribly strong blueberries. And then I got some yeastiness on my tongue. But it was
another good blueberry sour.
That was a big one.
Yeah, if you have a Little Sal from Allagash, it's a great one.
Oh, what? No,
Little Sal.
Have not had that one.
Oh. Not the easiest one to find from them, but it's got the main blueberries thing going on, so
Allagash.
It's pretty good. Allagash makes a good sour.
Yeah, I was incredibly impressed when I went out there with Mike and met up with you.
Yep. And Aaron.
Yes, and Aaron. But the their Cool Ship beers.
Yes.
Like checking out their Cool Ship and
Cool Ship Red.
And
Cool
Allagash Ship. They're one of the five breweries that were in on Izzy, right?
Oh, were they?
Yeah, I believe they were.
Wait, Izzy was a collaboration beer?
Izzy, I believe it was Russian River, Lost Abbey, Avery, Allagash, and...
was it Cantillon?
No, because there were five brewers...
I'm thinking about something else, too, that had five Allagash and Cantillon as a...
Yes, well, there were five brewers that went from the States to visit Cantillon, and when they came back, that's when they started their Cool Ship program, that's
when... What
was the
name of that beer?
Isabel Proximus.
Okay.
Let's see. There's.
I never had that. Did you guys have it?
Yes, I've had it 3 times now. Twice.
Wow.
Dogfish Head.
Oh, okay. So, Dogfish Head. I haven't seen that.
Lost Abbey, Avery, Dogfish Head, Russian River, and.
Does Dogfish Head make a lot of sours?
I can't recall
any I've ever had.
Yeah, but so I was incredibly impressed on how they like made sure everything was traditional. We got a little extra tour of the Cool Ship.
Oh, nice.
Apparently, there are a bunch of random laws in Maine where you're actually not allowed to... Like, once we were done with the tour, there were a certain amount of samples. We weren't allowed to get anything from the tasting room.
Really?
Because it's a tasting room and not a bar, so you can't...
Well, that's one of the coolest places you can visit, though, because everything's free.
Yes, everything is free.
They don't charge you for the tasters. Really cool setup.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool, yeah. If they ever make Isabel Proximus again, I'll sign up for that one. That's, use a red
bright. Any beer rumors for that one? That's a good beer.
I don't know if I have any beer rumors for that one.
Actually, there is a rumor going around that I've heard from a Lost Abbey employee, actually, that they're working on doing another batch. So, just saying, this was when I was there.
The first batch of Izzy, I mean the only batch ever made, was brewed at Lost Abbey.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's a beer that someone's got out there. We know there's still bottles floating around.
We had one a couple weeks ago.
If you have any,
yes, we did.
I'll trade for that. That's one I'll trade for.
There you go. Anybody out there's got Izzy that they want to offload, Matt will get some. Matt will, you know. He'll trade you some killer.
We got some stuff.
Some killer treehouse whales.
We got some Hill Farmstead. Yeah. Good morning. Good luck.
Good luck. That's what they should call. They should make a variant of it. Just called good luck.
Good morning. Yeah, good luck.
Barely aged good morning. Good luck. So final thoughts. What do you guys think? I personally, I'm going to pick the blueberry versus blackberry, the Kent Falls. It was the jammy, smooth, very most drinkable one, I think, in my opinion.
My clear favorite is... the Supermassive, because I think it's slightly less sour than the others, and it's just really, really clean. And I personally think it's the most drinkable, but that's why there's different palates.
For me, it was the Kent Falls, too.
Kent Falls?
Yeah, for sure. Rare Barrel is great, too. I can say Snugglebug was definitely the last for me.
Mm.
No offense, I'm a big Snugglebug, Cuddlebug fan, yeah. But...
Snugglebug was just very assertive in the acidic department.
Yeah.
I think that is the general consensus last place beer.
Yes.
Yep, agreed. Agreed.
Sorry.
So, Aaron's.
Yeah, you can pug that now, camera dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Pug it.
On camera. Wait, wait. Porn. Yep, yep. Oh, he's really doing it. Oh, no.
Do it.
Will you remember how to operate the camera after this?
Yeah. It's only 4. It's under 5%. Keep 4. Going. 8.
You're going to have keep a fun going. Time it's in the lighter. Bathroom later on. It's let's like just, yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'm not sure whether to applaud or yeah. not, but let me get that footage from you.
Bring out the tops.
I don't even know if that was in the shot. It's probably just the bottle.
Yeah. Could be. Just a bottle floating in the air.
Well, that was fun. Thank that you, was Joel. A fun little tasting,
thank you
guys.
For the media part of this.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for agreeing to it.
Chugging Snugglebug is not recommended.
Chugging Snugglebug is not recommended. But what is recommended is peer pressuring your friends into chugging one because it is kind of fun to watch.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, so. Yeah, well, thanks for tuning into this bonus, little bonus tasting, everybody. Stay safe out there. Don't drink too much sour beer all at once. And.
Let's drink something not sour now.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. We'll catch you on the flip side. Don't be a stranger.